Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to week two of our 52-week journey. I'm going to go back to a time before this new year when I was wrapping up my 1 year in the Bible YouVersion plan that my church had offered me. It was actually December 22nd's reading. It was day 356 of the reading plan. And they had us as a part of our reading that day in Revelation 13. So as I was reading Revelation 13, a few passages just gripped me, and I started taking notes on it, and then I started exploring and doing some word study, which took me to other verses. So I just want to take you back to that place, and I want you to see how it therefore then relates to our week one of Creator and God's nature, and then as we get ready for week two, which is God's love. In Revelation 13, it's talking about the beast at the end time, which is Satan. And if you go back to the end of chapter 12 in Revelation, it says, "Keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." So that is what our goal should be, is to seek with the help of the Holy Spirit, as He reveals God's word and truth to us, to keep the commandments of God and to hold to the testimony of Jesus. Well, in Revelation chapter 13, it's talking about after Satan was thrown down to earth in chapter 12 of Revelation, about a beast rising up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, and it begins to describe it, what it looked like, its feet, its mouth. You can go and look at Revelation 13 for yourself. And then if you look at verse 3, it says, "The whole earth marveled as they followed this beast." Verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast." And they worshiped the beast. So it led me to ask for myself, and I'm offering you to join with me, this question for us as we are in 2026. Who do I give authority to? Who do I give authority to? Because it said right there in the word that they gave their authority to the beast. And what they gave their authority to, they then worshiped. And if you keep reading, it talks about the book of life of the Lamb who was slain, which is Jesus. And then look at Revelation 13, verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13, verse 10. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Who we give authority to is who we worship. That's who we're captivated by. That's what guides our thinking, our feeling, and our doing. If you look at the end of Revelation 13, verse 18, it says, "This calls for wisdom." We need to seek wisdom from the Holy Spirit by revealing God's word to us, that for endurance and faith, for keeping the commandments and holding fast to the testimony, we must give all authority to God. And what we give authority to, we worship. And what we worship is what drives our thinking, our feeling, and our acting. So in this 52-week journey, I want you to remind yourself that what you give authority to is what will guide you. Now, week one, if we recap, is on God, our Creator, which reveals His nature. And I looked up accountability because who I give authority to is who I should be accountable to, correct? And when you think about it, the word accountability in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary says a willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. So accountability is that I have to choose to be willing to accept the role I play in this. And then I have to be able and willing to account to someone for my actions. So accountability partners are so key. So then I wanted to see, what does the Word of God, if everything we're doing is seeking the Holy Spirit's revealing God's truth to us so we can walk it out, what does the Word of God have to say about accountability? Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Matthew 12:36, on the day of judgment, people will have to give account for every careless or useless word they speak. God is my authority. I am accountable to him. While in my human carnal skin, I can seek people of like faith that are seeking the truth, that are seeking wisdom, to encourage me and to hold me accountable. Let's look at some of those verses about encouragement and accountability that's needed. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. 2 Corinthians 13:11, be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So why is accountability to each other encouraged daily? It's so that Satan does not lure us into sin and continual sin, which deceives us. It pulls us away from God's truth. It pulls us away from God's intended purpose for our lives. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We had our kickoff last week. We have 60 women that have agreed to go on this journey together in community. Then I still have my group of 6 of us who meet as accountability group on Tuesday. So you can say I know of 66 women that are doing this. Plus I have some family members that are doing it on their own. So we did the activity about the hand. I gave them and like all of y'all can jump in and do it with us. It's literally take a piece of paper and trace your own hand. I gave them a pre-printed out hand. In the middle, it said who. On the fingers, pinky finger, it said what. Ring finger, why. Middle finger, where. Pointer finger, when. And thumb, how. What, why, where, when, how. On the wrist, like where a bracelet would be, I wrote 2026. But right center is who. Big, big, bold who. And what I had them think about is, literally give it the time and space and place as we start this journey to color. I had colored pencils on the tables to color the finger where the word is, that you could finish that and make it a sentence of what potentially could captivate you and get you to spiral out of anxiety or fear, which pulls us away from just being captivated by who God is and his authority in our lives. One lady said, I need to trace another hand, meaning she could fill up all 10 fingers. And I laughed and I said, I totally understand. We didn't share vulnerably how we finished the sentence. We just showed the awareness that we were doing a common activity and giving space for what could potentially be overwhelming if we don't daily strive to be in God's word and hold each other accountable with encouragement. So I'll just go ahead and share with you all here. I colored the thumb how. I could potentially be anxious and finish the blanks with God, how, blah, blah, blah. I colored pointer finger when. I could be gripped and Satan could lure me with, hey, if your God's so great, how come this hasn't happened yet? But instead, I colored it. I gave it space. But I'm trusting God, who brings all glory, honor, and praise to himself through all situations. He's the holder of my when. He's the holder of that how. And then the last one I chose to color at the beginning of this 2026 year is my pinky finger what. God, what? Blank, blank, blank. So instead of spiraling and allowing Satan to lure me and tempt me with doubt, fear, mistrust, anxiety on a situation of how, another one of when, and another one of what, I give them to him. It's like then instead of having my open hand, I'm closing those fingers off. So that's not what's captivating me. So my authority is not being pulled to what Satan is luring me away from the middle. And when you close those fingers of potential worry and harm and carnality, you make a fist of a who. Who do I trust? God. Who's going to bring these to pass when and if it's in his will? God. And no matter how much time I give them, it's a waste of time. What is worthy of my time is being in his word, praying, praising, thanking, encouraging someone else, going out and enjoying creation, working in my job and profession and passion to the best of my ability to reflect him, engaging with my children, my grandchildren, my spouse, my church, serving. That's what I should spend my time and energy with, not questioning who I am giving authority to in my life. Now, after that activity and this first week in creation in God's nature, I'm going to show you how that activity and what we were reading daily just corroborate for us this great start to the year. Day one, we read Genesis 1:1-3, and I'm keeping a little journal of the truths that come out from my daily reading that I can quickly go back and look at in one place. So for the first day's reading, I wrote down God created and Spirit of God hovered over. Well, if God created when the world began, God still creates now. If his creation reveals his nature doesn't change. So if God created, God still creates. If he can create a world, he can create and resolve any situation I or you are in. If in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over, the Spirit of God is still hovering over today. And he hovers over me and within me because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So it's a promise that when Jesus ascended, the Comforter, Helper would be given to us as believers from God. So that is a promise. So when, not if, when Satan starts to tempt or lure me with, your God hasn't resolved that how, your God hasn't resolved that when, your God hasn't resolved that what, aren't you kind of questioning your God? I can rebuke that with my closed who fist and go, my God created, my God still creates. Spirit of God hovered, Spirit of God still hovers. That took me to Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Because if you really look at that drawn hand and your colored fingers, if you really are vulnerable with yourself and transparently honest, what is really gripping us, what Satan really lures and tempts us with, is fear. If what we are hoping for and praying for doesn't come to pass, there is fear of what will happen if God doesn't come through for us. What we have to realize is we don't even know if what we perceive as the needed answer is the needed answer. If God created all things, including nature, including us, to bring glory and honor to His name, then I don't have the right to doubt what He's doing. I don't have that right. Let's look at day two, Psalm 19:1-4. The heavens declared the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. All things giving glory and honor to God. Then that took me to 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of God hovered at the beginning of time. So the Spirit of the Lord is wherever God is. They are one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. For any of you listening that did not feel 2025 was a year of freedom, walk into 2026 with freedom. How do we get that freedom? Where the Lord and the Spirit is, there is freedom. There is freedom in Him. But if you are being so tempted, and if you're in a pattern of worry or anxiety or fear, and if that's like all you can see, and you're so focused, tunnel visioned on that, and Satan just keeps dangling that in front of you like a hook, and you can't help but latching on to that hook of what, why, where, when, how, Lord, then even though you're going to God about it, you're still being hooked on the anxiety and the fear. God offers us freedom. God is peace. God is joy. God created the world and rid chaos. If you are living, feeling, thinking chaos, that is not of God. God is freedom. Then day three, John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God, Jesus. So that just sets the first 3 days of creation in God's nature, sets up the Trinity. God was, Spirit was. God and the Spirit are one. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was God, and the Word was Jesus. If you look at verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we know that is the showing, the foreshadowing of the fact that God will then send His Son Jesus to us to prepare a way for us. He will give His life. If you look at 1 John 1:1-4, the life was made manifest, fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. 1 John 1:4, so that our joy may be complete. What I want you to hear, see, know, is that you have issues, you have problems, you have qualms, you have fears, you have anxiety, and that's okay. It's no different than the temptation of Satan in the garden with Eve. First woman ever created, had everything she would have ever dreamed to need. But Satan tempted her immediately with, are you sure that's what God said? Are you sure? Are you sure He's not just keeping you from the one thing that would let you basically be equal to Him so that you could know everything He knows? Ladies, it's the same problem that He tempts us with today. When we have a colored finger of, I don't know how God's going to work that out. I don't know when God's going to work that out. I don't know what God's going to work that out with. It is no different than Satan saying, are you sure you don't want to know as much as God knows or more? What are you waiting on Him for? Do it yourself. Figure it out yourself. Give up on Him and just get it done yourself. He's pulling us away from our authority, our freedom, our peace, our joy. He's pulling us away by fear and doubt and mistrust. He's pulling us away from the who God is. God, all-powerful, creator. He created you. He created you for a purpose. And I truly believe Satan knows that we have an intended, magnificent purpose and role to play in this world as daughters of the King. He knows that. And so he wants to bind us up. He seeks to bind us up, wrap us up in our mind, in our emotions, in being too busy doing things, so that he pulls us away from our true intended purpose that will most maximize and glorify God. So with accountability, with one or two other people, I offer you to get vulnerable, to get real, to admit to them, this is when I'm going to meet with God each day. This is where I'm going to meet with God each day. This is the plan I am going to use to meet with God each day, just so they know to hold you accountable for that. Someone reached out to me this morning because I did an accountability check-in with our group, and it was basically reach out to one or two people and let them know when you are meeting with God each day. And this person reached back out to me and said, my goal is to meet with God within the first 30 minutes I wake up. And I said, that's wonderful. I responded, I also meet with God in my first minutes of the day. So here's what that just did. That just offered each of us one step of vulnerability in accountability, but it also gave me a little more detail to check back in with her. I can reach out to her and say, thinking of you, praying for you. When I see her, I can say, so how is it going meeting with God in the first 30 minutes? It just lets me hold her more accountable because she let me in. Do you understand? So the next thing I'm offering you when you're ready is after you've chosen and discussed with one or more people about, will you hold me accountable? Will you walk with me as I walk with Jesus? Then I want you to start sharing what it is that Satan is tempting to hold you captive by. And like I said, you don't have to finish the sentence, but you can begin to say, he is captivating me and pulling me away because I'm fixated. I don't understand how God is going to do this. You don't even have to say what it is he needs to do or that you're hoping he does, but at least give it that word. I'm being captivated by a how question that's not answered. I've been captivated by a when question that was never answered last year. I'm being really held captive by a what in the world is he going to do with this? Give him that much so that they know they can pray and they can intercede for you. They don't have to know all the dirty laundry, but now they know a little more about when you're meeting with God and what you are rebuking Satan from over you. That's all anyone needs to know. We don't need to know all the down and out details, but we can help you stay in the palm, the nail-scarred palm of Jesus' hands. He died for us not to have to have that fear and anxiety. He died so we would have peace, the person. We would have faith grown to maturity. And while these problems are in our lives, that's what it's doing. God is saying, until the result, be resilient. Right now, God could supernaturally answer everyone's issues at the same time. He is that supernatural. He could eliminate and eradicate every issue and problem. You know what that is, ladies? That's heaven. That's when we're going to be accountable to him and experience that, a life with no problems. But here on this side of heaven on earth, what we are growing is our faith. Because believe it or not, fear ends where faith begins. Fear ends where faith begins. And I can honestly tell you, at the age I am, the amount of energy and time I have put in to seeking, to listening to the Spirit, to reading, to studying, to seeking accountability, to being accountable, to mentoring, to being mentored, I am at a place now where I can trace my hand, I can color the fingers, but I can, without a shadow of a doubt, say, I leave this with you. I am focusing on who you are. But my faith matured over the years with all the times I was struggling with letting them go, where I was struggling with laying them down, where I would give them to him. And then what do we do, ladies? We go pick them back up. I'm giving you this situation. Didn't happen soon enough. So now I'm going to go and just delicately pick it back up and carry the burden around and let it just captivate me. Well, no, not anymore. Because I realize it's not doing any good for me, yes, for others, yes, but for most importantly, it's not bringing any glory, honor, or praise to my God. And if I am put on this earth as his creation to be an ambassador of Christ, to be more like him and less like me, then I need to know how to lay those down and let them go. And what I do allow them to do is, when Satan tempts me to rethink them, I can allow those feelings to lead me back to his word. And the reason I journal and take notes on my daily reading is, it's not if they come back up to mind, it's when they come back up to mind, I can quickly go to my journal and remind myself of the truth of God's word. God is my creator. Spirit of God hovered, still hovers. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. In him is life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My joy is complete when I have the freedom in him that he offers us. He promises it to us. It's there for the taking. So it's my choice. It is my choice in each day, in each thought, in each action. Who am I giving authority to? I'm giving it to God, or I'm not, period. And when I am thinking thoughts that captivate me for no good, then I have chosen not to keep my authority under God. Point blank. There's no other bones about it. You can't say, well, yeah, but here's my excuse. No, there's no excuse. Because God offers freedom and peace and joy, overflowing completely. That's what he wants us overwhelmed by. We get to choose what we're overwhelmed by. All right, this is just a lead-in, a recap of some of my week one, and I hope you've enjoyed your week one as we look forward to starting week two, God's love. Let me read just the quick little start synopsis. God's love forms the foundation of his relationship with humanity and is demonstrated most powerfully through the sacrifice of his Son. This divine love is not merely emotional, but active and transformative, calling us to both receive and reflect this love to others. Let me read the seven verses that we will read each day. John 3:16, 1 John 4:7 through 8, Romans 5:8, Psalm 136, 1 through 3, Jeremiah 31:3, Ephesians 3:17 through 19, and 1 John 3:1. Let me read the weekly blessing prayer. May you rest deeply in God's unconditional love this week, allowing his perfect love to cast out every fear and overflow through you to others. And I'm going to read one of the three reflection questions. Think of three people who are difficult to love. What one specific act of kindness could you show to each of them this week? Close with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator, we offer you our thanks, our praise, our love. You personally love us. You personally chose to make a way for us to spend eternity with you. That love was so great in the fact that you sacrificed your son. That's how much you loved us. You sacrificed your son, your perfect, blameless son, to offer and make a way for us to have freedom, to not be trapped by fear and anxiety and doubt, but to have trust and joy even within the circumstances we don't understand, even when we have questions without answers, even when we are seeking to be changed from our present circumstances. You love us enough that we can give those thoughts to you and admit to you that Satan is attempting to captivate us and lure us away from leaning into you. May we be resilient. May we be resilient. May we endure in our faith, even without a result. God, please help us to not be result focused, but that we can be resilient focused, that we can be accountable to someone else, that we can be vulnerable enough to say, this is hard, this is where I am, this is the trap Satan's got me thinking or doing or feeling, and that the person that loves us enough can say, God is good. His love endures forever. He loves you so much. He has only good things for you. We can't understand everything, but He knows it all. He actively is involved with us. He loves us. He wants what's best for us, but all things bring glory and honor to Him. And growing our faith is part of it. Maturing is part of it. Encouragement is part of it. Being accountable is part of it. God, remind us to confess, to be honest with you, to confess where Satan's got me tempted with this thought or this action or this emotion. Let us give those back to you, and then let us share with an accountability partner so someone can check back in with us. Lord, we love you so. I'm excited about this week ahead where the more we know about your love, the more we can emulate that and seek the Holy Spirit's help in loving others well. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. Heavenly Father, it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.